Hey folks, welcome to Pro Football Ireland. As we get closer to the NFL draft, which takes place on the 25th of April this year, we're really excited to be in the Deer's Head establishment in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And we're delighted to be joined here, Dark Harger, Conal Diggan again. Shout out to the Deer's Head for allowing us. Great pub, great food. If you've ever seen it on social media, we're not being paid to say this. I'm saying people listening to this, they have great trad nights in here. Do check it out. The menu's class. Really appreciate David, the whole team, for letting us do this, because the upstairs here, lads, is class. I can imagine Conal Diggan, Dara Carragher having a one-man band show up here talking about the Packers tonight. What do you think?
He could do anything. Like, when it comes to the Packers, he knows the first man to the 53rd man. You know,
name
the most uncommon Packers player right now.
Oh, that's really put me on the spot. There was one guy called Tipa Nalie, and his name is just not spelt like that whatsoever. He's not there anymore, but that was like my one. If you didn't know who Tipa Nalie was, you're not my group. No, but obviously the Packers are ridiculously popular in Wisconsin. It's just a religion to them, so I have no real I'm not going to stop them from viewing my stuff and giving me clicks, so you know, shout out to everyone in Wisconsin, you're paying my bills.
Shout out to everybody in Wisconsin. Are they actually paying your bills?
No,
you can't declare that publicly.
No, I can't declare that publicly, because then I would have to pay to the IRS in America, so you think about that, so no.
There's ways and means. Feels like the wrong time to say this, but you know,
speaking of making money, let's talk about a bunch of guys who will be making a bunch of money.
We are presented on this podcast by the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. The game between Georgia Tech and Florida State is taking place on August the 24th in the Aviva, linktr.ee/NFL Ireland. Come and join us. Pat McAfee, Lee Corso, Conal Diggan. The lads are going to be there. Actually, really excited for this game in the Aviva, lads. Looking forward to it. And I know we're going to see some great talent on the field. We're going to talk about some great talent on the field right now. Wide receivers, Sweet Jesus of Nazareth, Marvin Harrison Jr. I was watching some tape on this lad last night. Jesus. I mean, where do you start here? Like, usually you identify teams, Dara, where you think, oh, he might be a good fit for this team. He might be a good fit for this team. This lad could land at any team and walk in.
Yeah, you want to talk top three expectations. Like, he's if he's anything short of an all-pro, it's probably a disappointment. I love my favorite comp. Everyone loves comps in the NFL. My favorite one was Danny Heifetz of The Ringer compared Marvin Harrison Jr. to, like, if Marvin Harrison had a 6'4" son, which is, it's exactly what he is. But yeah, like, it's an apt description. He is Marvin Harrison, only he's 6'4" and has pterodactyl arms. Like, this is
pterodactyl.
Yeah, he's just he's an insane football player. You talk about the smarts and IQ of receivers gets overlooked a lot. Harrison's just knows how to manipulate cornerbacks in any which way possible. He runs really clean routes. He does play tall. He's, you know, obviously he's going to, when he's 6'4", but he can get kind of, you know, a chippy smaller cornerback can kind of hurt him at the line when he leaves his body open. But that's such a nitpicky tiny thing to complain about. Everything he does, from deep balls to short intermediate routes, the catch radius, the spectacular catches. There's a catch from, I can't remember which game it is, but he makes the catch on the sideline with his leg contorted. His leg is almost behind his head to stay in bounds and keep his foot in bounds. It's one of the most ridiculous college catches I've ever seen. He's, in my eyes, there are elite receivers in this class, but he would be wide receiver one in pretty much any draft class you're ever going to get.
Does it offend you as a fan and an analyst, I'm going to call you now, Mr. Diggan, that he didn't work out at the combine or his pro day? The argument is, he's the son of a Hall of Famer, which is one thing, but as Dar has rightfully said there, we've seen what this guy can do and the levels he can get to over the last 2 to 3 years at Ohio State. He is next level. Is there any need for him to show people anymore?
The only thing I wanted to see from him was just like what his 40 time was. Just to see, not even like for the numbers, because I know, you know, a lot of teams talk about the GPS tracking, like they know how fast players are anyway and what their game speed, because there's difference between 40 speed and game speed. So he has game speed like 100%. I think he had a game-winning touchdown. I can't remember who was against. It might have been Purdue or something like that, where it was end of the game. He literally picked up a slant and like just kind of went in like a circle around everybody because he was just so much faster than them. And yeah, like that. That's the type of stuff he's able to do. And, you know, he did all this and produced so much last year with, no offense to Kyle McCord, but Kyle McCord was his quarterback and he was doing, you know, all this stuff. Like he's just amazing. Like Darren mentioned everything, and it's like everything you can think that you want a wide receiver to be good at, like he's already good at it, and he's going to be a number one receiver to basically whatever team walks in.
One thing that we talked about on the Jeff Reinbold show, which is every Thursday this offseason, is, well, Jeff went into detail on it, the lack of depth or talent on the New York Giants roster. It's hard to really imagine what team you go to, but if you're picking five or six in this draft, you look at the Giants, you look at a situation for me, if you get Odell in towards the start of the summer on a free transfer, or an, what was on the free transfer?
On a Bosman.
On a Bosman loan? If he comes in, he's obviously, he's a free agent, sorry. And if he comes in, if you end up picking up Marvin Harrison Jr., well, if that might shut people up in New York.
If you find Marvin Harrison Jr. at fifth overall in any draft class, you're just the most happy GM on planet Earth.
He's probably the best wide receiver prospect since probably Calvin Johnson.
Yeah,
Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, AJ Green type.
Julio seems like the last of that, like Calvin
top picks.
And that's gonna be unfortunately for Marvin Harrison Jr., that's where the expectations are gonna lie, is you're gonna have to be up there with Jefferson and Chase and those guys. But I mean, if anyone's going to meet expectations, it's gonna be the son of a Hall of Fame player. Like, he's seen what it's like to be a famous wide receiver firsthand in his dad. He's gonna know how to monitor this level of fame. I think a big part of the NIL and college football is it turns these guys into stars before they're even in the league. They're so much better equipped to deal with, you know, the fame and the money and everything that comes in the NFL, because they've already got that at Ohio State, which is, you know, just as big or even bigger than a lot of NFL franchises.
And when you've got the first three teams, especially as of recording, Chicago, Washington, New England, quarterback potentially going there, you're looking at Arizona, the Chargers, or the Giants, one of those three, maybe somebody might trade up. So it's going to be another intriguing element of this Thursday, the 25th of April draft night. So time will tell what happens there. It's going to be fun to see him in the NFL. And you'll find this in 5 or 6 years even more. I'm starting to feel old. The fact that his son's in the league now is...
Oh, there's a lot in this draft. There's Brendan Rice, son of Jerry Rice. There's Frank Gore Jr.
Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Yeah, Brendan Rice is a hilarious one. Like, he didn't even name him Jerry Rice Jr. He named him Brendan. He sounds like someone from me.
He could be lining out fullback in like an intermediate quarterfinal. Like.
Brendan Rice. All the best to Brendan and his NFL career. Brendan and Charlie are two Irish guys in the league.
You won't get this in any other podcast, lads. We talk about Mr. Odunze. Is he Odunze?
His
ball skills are incredible.
Odunze the doozy. Yeah.
Larry Fitz-esque, boys. Yeah. Larry Fitz-esque. But when you've got somebody like Harrison, where do you see it? Where in the top 10 would he go?
It's impossible.
It's hard to know. It's so hard to know.
I think as you mentioned, they're trading up. There's definitely... I'm hard-pressed to think there isn't one of these receivers that isn't worth going up and grabbing between our top three, Odunze, Neighbors, and Harrison, and there's a fourth one that I feel very strongly about. Ooh. We'll get to him.
Ooh.
But, Odunze, as you say, you mentioned Larry Fitzgerald there. I saw someone say, I think it could have just been a YouTube comment or something, but all the person said that he feels like a much more foundational member of a young NFL team than the other guys do feel like. And I think that's a really apt way of describing him. He's got this sort of aura of reliability around him in that you just know he's going to produce in the NFL. He's so switched on, Odunze this is, and he's such a safe possession receiver. Everything he does translates well to the NFL level. It doesn't feel like there's much boom bust potential in him. It feels like he's just going to be really, really good out of the gates. And I would argue, you know, guys like we'll get to Malik Nabers, who probably has a higher ceiling than Romo Odunze. But in terms of if you just want a reliable guy who's going to, you know, be a physical contested ball winner for you, he's going to run good routes, he's going to be a quality blocker in the run game. He provides everything like that for an NFL team. And that's why people are talking about him as a top 10 pick.
around 23% of his targets being contested and a success rate of 88.9% on his plays. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, you know, people are always like, he threw up a 50-50 ball, but it's like with Romo Dunze, it's not a 50-50 ball. It's like a 80-90% to 10 ball. Like, that's how good he is at doing it. And it's because he just uses his body better than really like anyone else, possibly even better than Harrison, at least on, you know, some routes. And I can't remember the name of the Twitter account. Dara probably knows better than me.
He
but,
definitely knows.
He tweets out the, you know, the percentage of routes run by the NFL players, and his route running, he basically ran every single route to like an amazing like spread over all of them, where some guys are like, you know, oh, they're just a slant guy, they're this, they're that, but he's run every single route and he's good at every single route. And it was the guy he was compared to was like a Devontae Adams with how pristine his route running was. And he's amazing, and he uses his body so well. Sometimes he actually uses his body so well that he relies on it a little bit too much, is really the only knock that kind of people have for him. And he's not like, you know, he's not as fast as like a Neighbors or a Marvin Harrison, but he's still like, because he knows what he's doing and his hands are so good, it doesn't really matter, he's going to get open no matter what.
And a situation now where I was going to call him Doozy for the rest of his career in my Colgy Trone accent. Will we talk about Neighbors? Will we go for it? LSU. Malik. Every time I look at LSU, I just look at their coach and think, that accent voice. That's like me and you going to like Dublin and going, how's Varma getting on? You
know? Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You're like, he has one of those galaxy bars. That's literally the equivalent of it.
Do you have 2 euro for the Lewis, please?
Well, apparently it's free going with some people. Mark Hogan the other night told me that a lot of people checking, and I just a heads up for anybody going down for any matches.
I may or may not have got on the Lewis yesterday, and may or may not have paid. I'm not too sure.
Pro Football Ireland has no association with Conall Niggins transport plans.
They actually do have a lot of association with Conall Niggins transport plans.
Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, LSU have brought out some incredible talent, especially in recent years. He's a real mix of the two, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting them. It's hard to not see Jamar Chase when you watch them. They both are just like psychos in terms of they're so fast and powerful. Like, they just look like they're, every time they get the ball, it's going to the end zone. I have never seen an athlete, I label him as twitched up. I've never seen someone as twitched up as Neighbors.
He's getting real into the draft vocabulary.
Yeah,
that is.
Sorry, I sound like I know.
You're gone.
Yeah. First of all, he's only 20 years old. Again, just a kick in the teeth to me and Connell here. But yeah, really good frame. He's such a high producer in college. We spoke in the last podcast about Jaden Daniels and that Heisman season. Neighbors was an unbelievably productive receiver, playing both outside and in the slot. He plays in the slot a lot more than Harrison and Odunze do, so that could be somewhere we see him in the next level. He's a little unrefined, but I think it's just that he plays too fast to be refined, if you get me. Like, he's a freestyler. That's a good way of putting him. He's a little like Caleb Williams, but in wide receiver fashion, where it's not going to be what you're coached necessarily. It's not going to be, you know, I'm going to get to this point, I'm going to run a perfect route, it's going to cut in perfectly. No, he's saying, give me the ball and I'm going to go to the end zone with it. He's so fast. He's so powerful. There's just, it's hard not to see like top three in the NFL potential with him. I think, as I spoke about Odunze, it might be a little harder of a transition to the league for Neighbors than it will be for Odunze, but I'm still so confident that, again, in a receiver class that doesn't have Marvin Harrison Jr., I think Neighbors is wide receiver one in pretty much every single one of them. Well, Jamar Chase has an argument there.
I love, because I know we done this last year, Connell, but it feels like this year that, like, even Dara's coming and saying it, there is so much depth in that top 15. And if you're sitting at 6 or 7 and he's there, like, obviously if you're picking anyone in the first round, it's going to be that top talent at that position. But it feels like this year, when you've got some of these wide receivers, that you're really getting somebody that's going to make a difference for your franchise. His grab and grow speed is just, it's fantastic. And you look at teams like potentially the Giants, as we said previously, the Chargers, the Jags, maybe. It's a real interesting pick.
I think, yeah, he's just, you mentioned the grab and go, like him, his rack speed is like, just, it's amazing to watch him, you know, just grab the ball, like just get it on a slant. He'll just evade the first tackler who like is going in a little half-heartedly, and then he'll just take off down the sideline, and then the safety just about gets to him right at the end because his speed is nearly unmatched. And you know, if similarly enough, you know, we were saying he was like, you know, a mix of kind of the Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. He actually does struggle a little bit with his hands, which if you remember, especially like the first like 8 games of Ja'Marr Chase's career, he had one like really massive drop, and people were like, ah, look at him, he's a bust, he can't catch the ball, and then went on and had one of the best rookie seasons we like ever saw from a wide receiver. Like, so yeah, he's another special talent. And I think the only thing that stops these guys, honestly, going, you could have a case where it's 3 quarterbacks back-to-back, 3 wide receivers back-to-back. And the only thing that stops that is either a team possibly trading up to get an extra quarterback to make it 4, or someone picking an offensive lineman. That's the only 2 things stopping that, to be honest.
We're going to talk about another LSU guy. We are.
We are.
A guy that led college football with 17 receiving scores at a pace of 1 every 4 catches. Brian Thomas Jr., you were hitting my screen. You're very excited to talk about this.
Yeah, as I said earlier, people are talking about a big 3 wide receivers. It's a big 4, in my opinion. Ooh. Brian Thomas is, I spoke about Jalen Wright in the last podcast. This is my guy at receiver, is Brian Thomas Jr. First of all, as we spoke in the last podcast, relative athletic score, it's a big part of the league. It's something that teams are really valuing, is if you have the athleticism, we can mold you into something more. Brian Thomas Jr., a 99th percentile, 9.82 RAS, which is just insane. He's got breakaway speed. He destroyed cornerbacks with his release at the line. It was his biggest improvement from last season to this season of college football, his release at the line. He kind of has that Devontae Adams-esque release where he's not using his hands. Even though he's big, he doesn't need to use his hands. He can just beat you with body movement and just using his feet to destroy you off the line. He made contested catches. He's a reliable player. He can come down with balls. He had very few drop issues last year. And then the big knock on him, which people are talking about, is that he didn't run many routes. If you watch him last year, he ran curl routes, a few in or dig routes across the middle, and go routes or deep routes. So that essentially 3 different things, which, I mean, literally 98% of his snaps were one of those 3 routes. Some teams don't like that, but in my opinion, it doesn't really worry me too much. It was a knock on AJ Brown and DK Metcalf coming out of Ole Miss the same year. I think those guys worked out pretty all right in the NFL. I don't get it as a viable knock, because you see him occasionally run a double move and he runs it perfectly. He runs it as well as anyone else can. It's not a case of he can't run these routes. It's that the team is asking him to do a certain thing, and you know, he can only do what's put in front of him. So it doesn't worry me, that running a limited route tree aspect. I feel like if you can show at any point in your career that you can run, you know, some kind of extravagant route that you might see in the NFL, I don't see why you can't do that over and over again. I think he could be a really genuine superstar in the league. I think it should be a top 4, not a top 3, in terms of the guys going at the highest in the first round.
I feel like this is going to be a TikTok in December when he's got like 14 touchdowns in the season. He's raw.
That's,
but if he has that ability to get into a team, and yeah,
I'm a little bit, I'm actually lower on him. I'm a Ladd McConkey enjoyer.
Oh, he's good.
Enjoyer. From the minute I saw his name, I think I actually pointed it out on the
you
podcast.
Definitely did. You definitely
where
did.
I was like, do you know Georgia have a player called Ladd McConkey? But yeah, I'm a Ladd McConkey enjoyer over thing, just because I do agree with Dara, where it's like people are like, oh, he doesn't run this route or this route, but that's, you know, what he's being asked to do. I actually agree with that stuff, but I just think, you know, I have to like see what I've seen and what I've read and everything, and I just have to go off. If I'm not 100% sure, I kind of can't give him the full benefit of the doubt. While Ladd McConkey, I know he can, you know, run everything. And he's like, Brian Thomas definitely has the ceiling of all ceilings. Like, he could be, as Dara said, a superstar. But Ladd McConkey, just as a floor, he's going to be in the NFL for a long time because, you know, his route running is so good. His run after catch is actually really impressive as well. He's had a few injury issues this year. I think he missed a few games with two ankle injuries or something like that. But he's just really impressive. He's a bit smaller, not as fast as other guys, but you know who else like isn't as big and as tall as other guys is, you know, your Puka Nakua's, your Cooper Kupp's. Like they find a way because they're just technicians in what they do.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. The biggest bottom line I put for him is, if healthy, tough to imagine him not carving out a great starting role in the NFL.
Yeah.
The floor is so high. The change of direction skills and the route running is so refined. Guys like him, they just have success in the league. Yeah.
I'm very proud of you boys. This analysis is... No, but seriously, you imagine...
We could talk about this receiving class.
I am telling you now, I have it, people...
I have down to about... I have about six guys on camera. Full notes on. I have about six guys with full notes. And then 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, about 18 like players who I'm just like, I just want to bring up these guys.
I've people said to me before, so people, I'll not shout out certain people on X and on Discord, especially over the last couple of months, saying that it brings the draft more livable to them. So it's definitely appreciated, boys. I can tell you that. You're like Daniel Jeremiah from Collie Hannah here. And Bucky Brooks from Tralee here.
Something.
Well, are we going to go tight ends? We'll go tight ends.
We can go with. We'll hit on a couple of receivers because there are so many.
These two work away.
Yeah, you go one, I'll go one. We'll just go back and forth.
Okay, I mean, I don't even know which one I could eat. Well, I'll start off on Eddie Mitchell. It reminds me a lot of George Pickens. He's an astonishing athlete. You get tired of calling these players elite athletes because the reality is every elite athlete at the high school level is playing wide receiver for their offense. And so the very, very best of those guys continue to be wide receivers. The other guys go somewhere else and become corners or linebackers or, you know, put on some weight and become an edge. But yeah, the very, very elite athletes at the high school level are playing wide receiver and then just continue to be amazing in college. That's exactly what Eddie Mitchell was. He and Xavier Worthy at Texas were two of the top duo, went the entire way last season and made the college football playoff. He wasn't overly physical at the catch point, was my knock on him, and he's bad after the catch, like just flat out. He doesn't really break tackles, but you want to talk about sideline awareness, quality possession receiver. He can run routes cleanly. He's got really good ball skills, making catches away from his body and has the catch radius. A lot to like in Eddie Mitchell. I would very much expect him to be a late first round pick this year.
Yeah, I had Eddie Mitchell as my next guy. I also had Ricky Pearsall from Florida. That guy is, he made probably the best catch in college football last year. I think it was like against Cincinnati or something. It was like a one-handed catch, like falling over. Like go look up Ricky Pearsall catch. It's the first one that'll show up. Like he had an amazing Senior Bowl that kind of boosted him in a lot of people's estimation. But he gets open. He again is just the guys I like route technician guys where they just, you know what they're doing, use their body well. Like a Jerry Jeudy was kind of what a common thing I saw for him. Now, the thing with Jerry Jeudy is
like
hands.
Score out of interest.
Yeah, what was his hands weren't as good, but I think Pearsall's hands are a little bit better. But you know, I just think he's another really good player.
Yeah, a few more guys I could rattle them off. I'm sorry, Xavier Worthy has the record for the fastest 40-yard dash in NFL history, 4.21. I mean, there's no way that team doesn't fall in love with that. Even if John Ross is kind of scaring teams from when was it 2017 or 19 that he ran that. But yeah, that's another guy. Keep going. Keon Coleman's one that I like. He's like a basketball player.
He played basketball at Michigan State, which if you don't know, Michigan State is like one of the best. They weren't the best this year, but they in like over the basically the last like 20 years, they've always been one of the best.
He was a notch above Jaden Reed at Michigan State. Jaden Reed has carved out a pretty good wide receiver two-ish or even better role with the Packers. One very, very way down the list guy that I'll finish off with is Jacob Cowing out of Arizona. Tank Dell was unbelievable last year before he got injured with Houston. These guys are just like for like in terms of they're smaller but route running savants. They just are
savants.
We're really getting technical now, guys. Cowing, C-O-W-I-N-G, whatever way you want to say it, I think he's a guy that teams are just going to like in that Tank Dell role, pair him up with a young QB and let them get working together.
Get this guy in the NFL Network. What was I going to say? Dara, I believe you're busy today after the draft. I feel for you now because you're literally investing in this.
I know.
At a high level.
Yeah.
And you get to day two of the draft. You guys have like four picks or something.
I know. And I'm not going to be sober for a single one of them. I'm at my brother's wedding.
Where's the reception?
The Manor House in Fermanagh. So.
Oh no. Yeah. It does. It's a great. Sorry. Let me explain. It's a great hotel, it's a great location for a wedding. There's no phone reception, does it?
Yeah, I'm well aware of this. It's been brought to
that's why I'm saying that.
Yeah, so find a TV with Sky Sports or something on it, hopefully. But I don't think I'm going to be given too much of a care.
Shout out to my brother who got married. He was told not to get married on a certain date and ended up getting married the day before the Packers game at Wembley 2 years ago. Shout out to you, Sean. Get a 0-0. That's Manor House, great spot.
Looking forward to it.
I'll give you this one. Last year, Dalton Kincaid went at the end of the first round as a tight end, and Sam Laporta went early second round, early day two.
Yeah, there was a couple of guys there.
Michael Mayer as well.
Mayer, Laporta, yeah.
Brock Bowers.
People thought Mayer would go like first half of the first round as well. They thought they'd go to the Packers. Yeah. Like everyone was mocking him.
Because we had that night, we were in Dublin. Like 5 minutes ago. Mr. Schefter here, I've never been more impressed with Conor Diggan than that night, I tell you about. But yeah, do you remember the reaction whenever Michael Mayer, because everybody expected it the first night as well. The whole situation around Brock Bowers, you see people saying he might fall. Week of the Super Bowl, he was expected to go very, very highly. There's mock drafts this week saying that you could see Harbour and the Chargers get a weapon for Justin Herbert at 5. Lads, what's going to happen for Brock Bowers? Somebody tell me.
I still don't know why he's being mocked so lowly. I mean, he's.
I think it's just a positional value.
Yeah,
thing.
It's a positional value thing, and maybe we jumped the gun a little on Kyle Pitts going in the top 5 last year or a couple of years ago back. But Bowers, in terms of college production, he was injured last year, but when he was on the field, was maybe the most productive and deadly player in college football. Like he was. Pound for pound, the best player in the sport for a couple of years.
I can't remember what game it was. There was one game, like, none of their receivers were doing anything. And then, like, I think it was the fourth quarter, he had, like, I think it was, like, 6 or 7 catches for, like, 80 yards.
There is, I'm not sure if it's the Auburn game, but there was a game where in the second half, he had back-to-back one-handed catches on a crucial third down and then a big 30-yard gain on the following first down. That's just the kind of guy that he was for Georgia. He's one of the main machines that they have had in this dynasty run leading up to this year. He is on the smaller side for a tight end. That's why I kind of have him classed as just a bigger wide receiver. I don't know if teams will be a wee bit afraid of, you know, is he a tweener in that sense? Is he just, you know... Is he going to be able to hang with people as an inline tight end? I think he can. But yeah, you want to talk ball skills, production after the catch, route running. There isn't really any knocks on Bowers. He's just an incredible prospect. Outside of Pitts, and I would argue he's better than Pitts as a prospect, there is no one else even in their stratosphere of recent years at the tight end position as prospects. I would go as far as to say his production in college would put him over Pitts. For me, Pitts is more of an athlete.
Yeah, he's much more like refined as a player than Pitts. While Pitts is definitely like, this guy can like run for days. He's much stronger, everything like that. But he just wasn't. Now Pitts is obviously one of the better receivers. They just never used him correctly. Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully this year.
I think the two Georgia guys, and I'll let you talk in a wee bit.
No, you're fine. All I was gonna say is, it feels like this year that the NFL is screaming out for that next tight end to come in.
Yeah.
You've got Kittle, you've got Kelsey, and you've mentioned guys like Kyle Pitts there, like Sam Laporta, but you feel like the next generation, it's now time for somebody to come in, and Bowers fits that.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right, and it's a testament to Georgia and their coaching that I think the same goes for McConkey at receiver and Bowers at tight end, that it's impossible to imagine these guys not being successful in the NFL. These guys just are... Bust proof is a word that gets thrown about, but they're bust proof. Like there's no way Bowers is not a comfortably successful tight end in the NFL as a starter, if not a superstar. You know, that's just the way these guys are made, and they're just so refined and so quality.
I think that's like because we're in Belfast, that's us now. Yeah.
That's us now.
That's us now. Wait, sort of this.
Yeah, there are a few tight ends.
Go for it. The guy I always mention, Jatavion Sanders, whenever we talk about Texas, he's like
Jatavion Sanders.
He's the second, or sorry, yeah, it is Sanders, yeah. He's the second best guy. He's kind of similar to Noah Fant, like not the best blocker, but if you put the ball in his hands, he'll get extra yards.
Yeah.
He's very strong. Like, he's big enough body. I think he's about 6'4". So yeah, like, and he's actually really fast and fine.
And the Broncos, your Broncos need to go after a tight end as well.
Yeah, but we just don't have like picks to do that.
Well,
the tight ends
have less if we trade it off.
The tight ends have always had a bad rap for struggling to adjust as rookies. I think last year the success of Laporta, to a lesser extent, guys like Musgrave, Mayer, Kraft, all quality enough rookie seasons as day two picks. I think that will help these guys this year. There's a little more confidence that these coaches, these offensive coaches, are figuring out ways to get younger tight ends involved in the passing game more. Cade Stover out of Ohio State and Theo Johnson out of Penn State, both very athletic guys, Big Ten guys. They're your classic inline tight ends who have so much upside in terms of speed, power, size, that they could become starters down the line. Another one I want to mention, one of my favorite players in this draft is Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State.
He's
a funny player to watch because he's a psycho. He's in terms of blocking, he will pancake block someone twice his size. He is you can tell sometimes when you're watching the film, you have a tough time identifying where the player is in the field. You know, there could be two similar-looking receivers. You know which one's Ben Sinnott every play. He's the guy who looks like he's going to murder someone on the other side of the field. He's crouched down, like he's almost in a full squat at the start of every snap, which is, I think people are likening him to maybe as a fullback in the future or like a H-back role. He can receive out of the backfield with the best of them. Like, he's a quality receiver. But yeah, in terms of blocking, and he'd be a core special teamer, a dominant special teams asset for any team. He's a real coach's player, so that's someone who I would look out for.
The only other guy, and it's literally just because he goes to Iowa, is Eric Alley. Like, I don't actually think he's actually amazing. He's not like, you know, the guys we've seen in the past. But yeah, he went to Iowa, so I just like, I can't not talk about him, basically.
Lads, I'll say one thing to you. I'm extremely impressed here. Where do you boys get married? Because, you know, your wives or husbands or you know, whatever fence, I'll be happy for you no matter what. Your wives, whoever at the house, will not let you watch football on Saturday, never mind Sunday. I'm telling you, boys. If I put on college football, my wife would come. Like, the level of detail you boys went into is sensational. So, fair play. Oh. Like that, no, honestly, that part, what you boys have just said for the last 30 minutes, could be put in the ESPN podcast.
I think we could probably talk for another hour. We could just keep going.
We are. The next episode is our penultimate one. We've got defense, and then we're going to have a little final little draft. Like,
yeah.
Hurrah.
Yeah. Let's hope there are no trades before it goes out.
Well, if it happens, I mean, we're going to have some bold predictions for cracks. Yeah. It should be okay. Anywho, for now, from Belfastia, Slonga Foyle, Agus, what's goodbye and also Scott?
Oh, don't even ask me.
Aye is yes. So see you later, folks.
And it's not Slán Go Fóill, it's Slán Go Fóill.
All right, some of us done Irish up here. Like, I mean, like,
say Gomach. Like,
Gomach.
Yeah, see. Well,
that's a regional thing, yeah.
It's a regional dialect, right. Yeah. Anywho, for now,
that would be an ecumenical matter.
We are presented by the Aer Lingus College Football Classic tickets, linktr.ee/NFL Ireland. Big game in August. David Shanahan, Kerry, Georgia Tech, FSU, in our national stadium until we build Casement Connaldigan. It's coming. It's coming.
Yep.
We'll have one game there, and then we'll have one game. We'll have a game on the Friday.
Look, if they
have a game on the Saturday.
Like, as it stands right
Friday
now.
Friday night lights in Casement. Yep.
It's Friday night lights in Casement. Are there even lights in there at the moment?
There are actually, Mr. I went up to
see one goalpost.
You obviously had the same room. There's lights. The lights are on, but there's nobody home. On that note, thank you to everybody. Appreciate the college game for supporting us for this as well. We'll chat to you soon, lads. Good luck. Bye-bye.